Joined in the studio by Kelly Rogers and Eric Nordstrom, two of the five members from Farmington Hill. Farmington Hill celebrating the release of their new record tomorrow at 8 p.m. at the El Rancho CD release party for more rock than Eagle Block. Kelly and Eric, hey, thanks for being on KDUR.
Thanks for having us, Brent.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to see you both. Thanks for being in here, and congratulations on the new record, More Rock than Eagle Block. We can say that over and over. And you do need to say it with like that pregnant pause of More Rock than Eagle Block. Where did that name come from?
I have to credit Jack Talmadge, who posted it on Facebook, More Rock than Eagle Block. And Jack always has a witty way of saying things. And so, yeah, just, became another way to spoof the theme of Farmington Hill. And then in the meantime, the Eagle Block guys have been really nice. And rumor has it they're going to have T-shirts for us at the show.
So, wait, what is Eagle Block? A business? Yeah, what is Eagle Block?
For real?
Yeah. I kind of know what it is. Is it okay? No,
at the top.
It's a place. It's at the top of Farmington Hill. That's right.
It's at the pinnacle.
Yeah.
Of Parent.
Okay, I get it now.
They do masonry
on top of.
Okay.
Rock works.
That's funny. Like the first 2 years I lived in Durango, I lived at the top of Farmington Hill. So
yeah.
I drove by that place dozens, if not hundreds of times.
That's Eagle Block.
It's actually a bit ironic, you know. To be fair, Eagle Block probably has much more rock than Farmington Hill does.
Okay.
But,
well,
that's the irony.
I want to talk about the rock in Farmington Hill, but so this is a record, and we'll give the short history of Farmington Hill. Let's go back a handful of years when Farmington Hill forms, and it's the two of you and Paul Bubba Yudis and Mike and Katie. Mike and Katie are no longer in the band. We'll talk about the new members in a second, but this recording and this record features them. It was done prior to them leaving
Correct.
The band.
Yep.
And what year was that?
When was that?
October of 2013.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
And now, did this, so, it's great to take time, but, you all just have other projects going on. I know everybody else is super busy with things. So, why now is it coming out after being recorded back then?
I mean, the approach we use, it's all live takes, which I think is a nice thing about the energy of the album. But we had to listen to all the takes and decide what takes to use.
Yeah.
And then we got busy with other things and then had to eventually come back around and do the editing of the different parts, and then we had to do vocals, and I don't know, is there any other excuses for this?
No, I don't know, just the weather.
True.
Life, maybe.
Yeah. And now, are you happy with the product?
We're very
happy. I think it sounds great.
Cool. The collaboration that we have with the team, being the band members and Dan Szabo, and the way we've learned to work together.
Yeah.
It is extraordinary.
Yeah. And the band with Dan, I know Dan has also been extremely busy with numerous other local music projects as well.
But classic vying for time.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So that's it. When you get this, the audio into someone's hands, in the case of Dan, and then, you know, Dan's got a full-time job and he's doing other musical things as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Dan Szabo, I think, is awesome with his ear and his production knowledge. And I feel very fortunate to have worked with him yet again. And I thought he did a great mix down and master.
And Kelly, you're happy? You're happy with it as well?
I love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Now, what made you want to go to Dan just from knowing him? Because, it's Durango. It's a small community. We all know each other. Did Dan work on the first record?
He did.
Yeah.
He helped record it along with Eric Mischker, but he was responsible for the final mix down, and I definitely wanted to go to him first because I thought he did a good job with the first CD as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a lot to do with, I think, the way something sounds is the final mix.
Yeah. Okay, so, Dan, I think no matter what Dan puts his hand in, because even listening to the Diabolical Sound Platoon record recently, you know.
Right.
I think everything that guy has done is great.
He's becoming locally quite well known for his expertise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Katie and Mike leave the band. Let's credit everyone that's going to be, and the record sounds great. Love Katie and Mike. Still friends, you know. It's
oh,
all
yeah,
good.
Totally.
The new members, Mary and Logan, how are they fitting in with the two of you and Bubba, you know, the three longtime members of the band?
Very well. They just have fallen right in.
Yeah.
They're they've got a level of musical experience that is refreshing in the band. And so while they have something to offer, they also were real quick studies and just came on board seamlessly, effortlessly.
And where did they come from?
Let's see. Logan played with Bubba as part of Your Welcome. I think that was how we met Logan originally.
And Charlie's band,
And yeah, Logan is great. You know, he feeds us tequila every so often. And then Mary, I think you came across Mary in your search for a bass player from Cortez.
Yeah, right, there Kelly? She was. Yeah. This rad, great female bass player over at Moe's. One afternoon, raging it.
Yeah.
And so I came back and told the guys that we had to try to figure out how to get a hold of this person.
Yeah.
And she's great. I think she has a great taste in bass playing. She has a great voice. And she also has a good sense of humor, too, and can put up with us, too. Usually she's heckling us more than vice versa. So it does sort of feel like Katie's in the band, but I don't know. It's just different. But
she
it's
picked
Mary.
Up yeah. right where yeah. Katie left off.
And that could be the most important thing because, I mean, that's probably intimidating for some people. You know, not everybody is outgoing as anybody else, but then you come into this band and you've got three people. Kelly, you, Eric, and Bubba, people that have known each other, you know, you might have somebody that might be a little shy, maybe, around.
You know, I think that we're pretty easy to know.
Yeah.
And hang out with.
Yeah.
You know, we're good company in general.
And she jumps right in. So this record, More Rock Than Eagle Block, and going back and comparing it to the first record, you know, the whole alternative country rock thing gets thrown around. But I'm hearing, and not to make it a take on the title, but I feel like this record has more rock than some of the country leanings that the first record might have had. And disagree with me if you want to.
I would agree with that. I mean, there are some new songs that were written, I guess, since Farmington Hills has been a band. The origins of Farmington Hill was Bubba taking out some of his songs that weren't fitting into his punk groups, some of his country songs.
Right.
And that also inspired me to dig out some songs that I hadn't played that I had written, you know, a decade or so ago. Like, for example, Welfare Line is one that I had written, I think, back in the 90s at some point.
Yeah.
And so there is some old songs on this new record, but I would say more than not, they're more new songs, relatively. I know it's still 2013 when we recorded it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think there's an energy, which may be a result of the whole synergy of Farmington Hill, perhaps.
Yeah.
More on the second album than the first album.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And
I
think where I might, and always will think of the country leanings, Kelly, that comes from you and the whole Lap Steel. You know,
we introduced some twang also. Well, Eric's about as... Eric has got a really strong twangy country bent also in his playing.
Yeah.
But yeah, the two together just are naturally.
Now, when did you pick up a lap steel? it's not one of those instruments that it's just like, I've never taken a guitar. I'm just going to start playing like a lap steel.
I've collected them for years.
Oh, really?
I think they're cool.
Just because they're cool.
I've been a musician for years, play lots of stringed instruments, primarily guitar. Grew up cutting my teeth on Bonnie Raitt and Lowell George.
Huh, okay.
That kind of really attracted to that genre and style of music. And so, I thought, well, I'd like to play with the Lawn Chair Kings, and I need a way to fit in and stand out a little bit.
Yeah.
And so put a strap on one and started playing it.
Yeah. And then you left the Lawn Chair Kings, but were you in both the Launcher Kings and Farmington Hill at the same time?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
I was putting it together. I think Kelly and I have put together three albums now together. So
yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yes.
So I always like having that lap steel sound. And if I do say so, I think, Kelly, you've gotten better and better. And I feel like our communication's gotten a lot better because, you know, we do occupy the same frequency range with electric guitar and lap steel. So I think there's a...
Definitely learning how to hold that space.
And I think it complements each other as well. I mean, you're not stepping on each other.
Well, I had to get better. And so that's helped the process a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Had to get better to keep up with him.
Basically.
Oh, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, again, and I think it's a unique sound, and even going to like to both records, the first one and the newest one, More Rock Than Eagle Block. I think having the twang of Eric's guitar and then the more twang of the pedal steel, and even in a sense where it's not as country as the first album, but there's still some driving like rock music with the twang in it, which appeals to somebody like me.
It's pretty darn fun.
Yeah, it is fun, and I want to speak on the funness of it as well. Let's remind our listeners, Kelly and Eric from Farmington Hill in the studio right now, Farmington Hill CD release party for More Rock Than Eagle Block tomorrow at the Ranch. That's Saturday, April 30th. We say 8 p.m., and it could be around 8 p.m.
Yes, we at 8 o'clock, we'll have the Cannon Dolls open up for us.
Oh, okay, cool.
From 8 to 8:45, and then Farmington Hill will be on around 9 o'clock, but... Yeah, come on down early, get the CDs, you know, while they're hot, before they fly off the shelves.
I mean, do either of you think the sound has changed or has the band changed over the years since you first started performing?
It's maturing.
How?
I don't know exactly what that means, but it hasn't fallen apart completely yet.
Okay, then that's good.
I guess in perhaps contrast to some boy bands that, you know, get thrown together instantly and are a band, I feel... Like, you know, Bubba and I started this thing a long time ago, not really wanting it to necessarily be a band.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Kelly got involved, and now we have a different rhythm section. And it's been kind of unique because now all five of us are in this thing that we didn't necessarily start off part of anything, I guess. And it's been neat to see the camaraderie, the brotherhood, the sisterhood. And I do feel like it's an evolving project, which has been very inspiring to be part of, I think. And
indeed, it just kind of happened itself.
Yeah.
Without a lot of intention.
Yeah. Not like we're developing, a game plan of like, this is exactly what we need to do, and we're going to get there from point A to point B with this major game plan. It's like we're at point A, and we'll get to point B, but we don't know which way we're going to go to get there.
Yeah, I feel like it's been kind of an organic process,
which
has been pretty neat. I think that a lot of... projects you try to have an energy to it or a direction, and I think this has been for me it's been neat to be part of a project that just has a natural energy to it.
And
by the way, Bubba's not in the room, and I have to give a lot of credit to him. He definitely has his own stage presence, and I love his rhythm guitar playing and songwriting, and he certainly pushed me a lot as a songwriter myself.
Well, it's also, you're a fun band to watch because of, I mean, there's an energy of
there's
Kelly
the camaraderie.
Yeah.
There's a camaraderie, and we're having such a fun time ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, you can't see Logan back there very well. You know, we talked about Mary, who's always up there with a smile on her face. You know, Bubba's kind of thrashing around. You know, Kelly, you've got like kind of like a nice kind of, you know, thrashing around, hunched over your steel, and then... you know, Eric, you're Eric. So it's a fun band to watch as well. And it's not like watching The Grateful Dead.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Now, I want to talk about the songwriting for a second. I mean, Eric, how does your songwriting differ from Bubba's? I can say what I've noticed is, and at least on this record, I do like the, from the lyrical perspective of... characters that, you know, might be defiantly stubborn. You know, I think of I'll pick out some lyrics. The word, the phrase "kick to the curb" in the opening song, and things are going to go my way. You know, I don't know what perspective Bubba is singing from in the second cut. But, you know,
Loveless
my friends
boy.
Are punks. The rest are drunks, and don't try to save me from my life. You know, just. I am who I am, and leave me alone, and I will be defiantly stubborn. I think sometimes Bubba's lyrics might be a little bit more straight ahead, and yours might be a little bit more ambiguous.
A little esoteric, Eric.
Yeah.
Eric's prolific, for one thing.
Yeah. Hey, Miss America, we're a servant at your mercy. I'm not sure what that means.
I guess it is open to interpretation, a lot of my lyrics. I think that... I certainly use a lot of sarcasm, and I think Bubba, from what I know about his songwriting, does a bit of that too. I think there's a lot of tongue-in-cheek in both of our songs.
Yeah.
I think that, I was figuring this out. We're all about the same age, you know, within months of each other,
yeah.
And I know we all grew up with kind of the 80s punk rock scene and
sure.
alternative and Pavement and a lot of similar influences. Yeah, but as far as what's exactly being said in those songs, I mean, that's a good question for Bubba. It's I know that often I'll sometimes take a point of view that's not necessarily my own, which is probably the case in the first one. But, but you know, I think we can all maybe on some level relate to that defiant attitude that, you know, things are going to work out however they work out, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the in Miss America?
The first track, yeah.
Then Miss America, Lift Your Finger Up to the Sky. That to me was like, is he talking about giving God the finger? Is he saying something?
Part of me was thinking about one of those like stadium, you know, big foam fingers, you know, maybe. but of course, it could mean a lot of things, you know, the finger on the sky for sure.
Yeah. Yep. Well, either way, we like it. And I just kept going back to just the defiant, beautifully stubborn, you know. Characters that self-aware
probably their, it just relates
self-awareness and relationship
and
learning in life
that's
what's mapped out in Farmington Hill Records.
It probably just relates to Bubba and I reaching midlife crisis and getting defiantly more stubborn and angry at the world probably.
But then for the most part, and then going back to the whole rock thing, it all comes because it's a fun record. It's fun to listen to. Break is, you know, the great drunken sing-along. And I can even, you know, even the Ode to the King, Can We All Just Get Along? That's the drunken sing-along also. Thank you for the Ode to the other king, Rodney King.
Yes. Yeah, that one definitely is about Rodney King. But
Yeah. Well, we're quickly running out of time here. We've been talking for 18 minutes, and we want to play some more music. Kelly Rogers, Eric Nordstrom from Farmington Hill joining us in the studio in the Farmington Hill CD release party tomorrow at the Ranch. And then what's going on this summer? More shows?
Well, I would say we were very much hoping to go to Europe, and that is not going to happen.
Oh, good, because I can't go this summer, but I'll go the next time.
But we were trying to make waves. You know, Bubba took his band, Freeman Social, there years ago to Germany. But I think we're going to do some local shows, and we'll be around in the area, and maybe the Four Corners. We still need to figure some things out. Definitely hope to see all of you guys out at the Ranch.
And enough CDs. So suppose somebody can't make the Ranch tomorrow. We got enough CDs. You have CDs for the summer. People can call you, track you down, go to the website, buy them, whatever.
Yes, we'll have it available on farmingtonhill.com.
Anything else to add?
Come on down and rage it with us.
Okay. That's the perfect addition, Kelly.
It's a great time to stock up on all your Christmas needs of 2016 right now to get CDs for all of your loved and maybe not so loved family members.
It's never too late. So
it's not just great music. It's a beautiful piece of art.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Let's KDR DJ and the great member of the community, Dan Groth, contributing the cover and the back art to this. So
Yes, Dan Groth did a great job, and I think it's cool to continue the art themes that we've had with Britt Gordon doing the first one. And Dan, I love his sensibility, and that's kind of a neat other side package of the CD.
Love it. Well, Kelly and Eric from Farmington Hill, thanks for being on KDR.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.